This is the EWN Radio Network.
Welcome to Eat Great, Live Well Radio, your trusted source for the information you need to take control of your health and your life. No complicated medical speak, just straight talk about eating healthier without giving up the foods you love. Now, here's the host of Eat Great, Live Well Radio, food psychology coach and best-selling author, Janelle McCauley.
Hi, and welcome to Eat Great, Live Well Radio. I'm Janelle McCauley, and I want to thank you for joining me today. My promise to you is that if you take action on the information we provide each week, you will transform your health and your life. Before I introduce my guest for today's show, I want to invite you to go to eatgreatlivewellradio.com and download our free ebook, Overcoming Portion Distortion. It's packed with quick and easy ideas for making mealtime family-friendly, fun, and healthy. So get your copy today at eatgreatlivewellradio.com. We've got another great show planned for you today, so grab your pen and paper and your favorite beverage, and let's get started. We have a wonderful guest on today's show. Laura Robinson Oatman is the author, speaker, and certified holistic health coach. Through her website, wholeearthdiet.com, speaking opportunities, and workshops, Laura loves to educate, support, and empower individuals and groups towards a sustainable, holistic, healthy life rooted in a vegan diet. Her newest book, Whole Earth Diet, Healthy Body, Healthy Life, Peaceful World, lays out the foundation for her holistic philosophy and provides a blueprint for eating healthier and living longer. On today's show, we're talking with Laura about the benefits of a vegan lifestyle and how almost anyone can incorporate sustainable, healthy foods into their diet. Welcome, Laura.
Thank you, Janelle. I'm so happy to be here.
I'm really excited about our conversation today because I think this is a topic that people hear a lot about, but to be honest, I'm not sure they really know what that means. So first of all, I'd love to start our conversation by having you just explain a little bit more about your background and what it means to be a holistic health coach.
Sure. Yeah. Well, you know, I wasn't always a holistic health coach, actually, though for as long as I can remember, I was always passionate about health and wellness. I think I first became a vegetarian when I was 17, so my journey towards a vegan diet and lifestyle started way back then. But so I was always interested, but it never really became my life path. I started off my first 25 years, my professional life, I was actually, in my previous life, I was an architect. I designed resort hotels and then spent another 5 years working for a hotel developer. So for the first 25, 30 years of my career, I was immersed in this corporate world. And when the economy crashed in 2008, both my architect husband and I both lost our jobs, and we had, at that time, we still do, have 5 kids to support. 3 of them were in college, and you know, at that time, I was just an absolute physical, mental, emotional, spiritual train wreck, I guess you could say. So I was 50 years old at that time in my life, and I did a complete midlife transition. I went back to school. I studied nutrition at a holistic health nutrition school. It's called, and I'm sure some of your listeners know about the Institute for Integrative Nutrition in New York. I got my certification to be a holistic health coach, which basically means that I'm leading my clients to a better health through good nutrition as well as lifestyle choices. And then beyond that, I felt like I needed to further my education and do a little bit more of a deep dive into the 2 areas that really, really piqued my interest the most. And of course, that was the plant-based nutrition piece and the Ayurvedic piece. So I received a further certification in plant-based nutrition from E. Cornell, and then I went on and received a certification in Ayurvedic education from the California College of Ayurveda. So that was all about 5 years ago now. I started Whole Earth Wellness in 2010, and since then I've helped a lot of people, many clients, overcome a variety of health issues, everything from just being, you know, a little overweight, wanting to lose some weight, all the way through to cancer, diabetes, heart disease, physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual wellness, all through a plant-based diet and a holistically healthy lifestyle.
So can you tell us a little bit more about the Ayurveda education? Because that may be a term that a lot of people aren't familiar with.
Yeah, well, in a nutshell, Ayurveda means science of long life in Sanskrit, and it is a 5,000-year-old holistic wellness philosophy that comes out of the Vedas, out of ancient India. And it was fascinating to me when I learned about it when I was at IIN, because so much of what we're talking about today, this movement towards holistic health and wellness, really a lot of what they were practicing and talking about and writing down 5,000 years ago in India is proving through modern science today to be actually pretty right on. I think a lot of people know about yoga and meditation. That's really kind of come into the Western consciousness. Those are both sort of chapters in the book of Ayurveda, but Ayurveda is a lot deeper than that. That's really just the icing on the cake. There's a lot more to it, lifestyle techniques, ways to eat, times of day to eat. Of course, all of the wisdom around ancient healing herbs and spices, like turmeric, for example, 5,000 years ago, they were saying it reduced inflammation and reduced blood pressure and high cholesterol. And today, modern science is proving that they were right. So a lot of wisdom in Ayurveda. That's what intrigued me about it.
I really like that. And I love the fact that you're talking about educating people about better health through good nutrition, but also lifestyle choices. Because I believe that, you know, part of our health is about the food, but there's so much more. It's about how you eat it. It's about what's going on in your body that when you're processing the food, it's about all the choices that you're making to take care of yourself. It's so much more than just the actual food.
Absolutely, because we are much more than just a physical body. We are also a heart, a mind, and a soul. Those four pieces are very, you know, fully integrated with each other. So whichever of those four pieces is not well, not healthy, you're going to fall down to that lowest common denominator, no matter how well you're eating or exercising or whatever, however well you're caring for your physical body. If you're off mentally, emotionally, spiritually, you won't really be able to fulfill that healthiest, happiest life that you're capable of.
So how do people figure out what part or if all of them are off? It's a big question, I know.
That's a good question. A lot of people are a little off in all of those categories. And there's no such thing as perfection. Mm-hmm. There's just a constant striving towards being the best that you can be in all of those areas. We're all a little off in all of those areas. Anybody that claims they're not is, you know, I don't know,
mm-hmm.
making something up. But I think we need to equally strive in all of those areas. And, you know, physically, of course, it's a combination of diet and exercise. Mentally, it's a combination of constantly expanding your mind, learning new things, exercising your mind, and then at the same time also the other side of that coin, quieting your mind, reducing stress, meditating. Emotionally, it's all about learning to love yourself first before you can do anything else, and then from there learning to love others. Spiritually, it's a combination of inner and outer. For me and for what I preach, it's a combination of growing your inner spirituality and then expressing it through outer faith, through outer works, through your traditional faith or charity or that sort of thing. So there's kind of actually not just four, but eight pieces of the puzzle. And so mm-hmm. when I work with clients, I work with all eight pieces of that whole puzzle.
I really like the way you explain that, because it really does, it simplifies something that I know is very complicated, and I know all the pieces go together, but the way you explained it makes it really easy, at least for me, to visualize mm-hmm. all the different parts of it.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
how do you even get started, though, figuring out what's going to make the biggest impact, or do you kind of work on all the areas at one time?
Well, I do believe that the physical piece is the first thing that we need to start with. The foundation of all of our wellness starts with our physical body. And so our physical body is that first piece. That's the foundation of all the health of all the other parts. So we start with that, you know, 100% plant-based or vegan diet, and then complementing that also with that horrible word exercise or fitness. So I try and call, I use the word play instead of exercise or fitness because a lot of people balk at that. But we try and get 30 to 60 minutes of playtime in every day as well. We start with that.
I like that because a lot of times it really is about the words that we use. I heard someone say the other day, and it, I mean, it really brings home what you're saying. They were talking about, they had three children, and they were talking about their the one in the middle always being referred to as the middle child. And he just really used to get upset. And then she changed the word. Instead of calling him the middle child, she called him the center child. And
wow.
And she said once she started using that word, all of his actions, all his responses, everything changed because that had such a different meaning than middle. So I love your play versus exercise, because when you hear the word play, it's about fun. It's about enjoyment. We all love to do that, very few people actually want to exercise.
No, but we have to remember our inner child. You know, we used to love recess, right? We used to love to go outside and play. Mom, can I go outside and play now? No, you got to finish your homework, you know. No, but I want to go outside and play. So it's really, it's how we look at it. But I love that word center child, too. I've got five kids, and my center child is actually at home with me still right now. He's kind of bounced back. So I'll have to try using that with him.
Yeah, I just, but, you know, you hear at certain times, you hear something that's like the light bulb, and that really made me take a step back and think about the words that I'm choosing.
I love that. I might use it.
Perfect.
In fact, I will use it.
Let me know how it goes.
I will.
Do you think that pretty much anyone can benefit from eating 100% plant-based diet, no matter what age or stage they are in life?
Oh, absolutely. I'm so convinced of this. You know, I know it's hard to initially sort of wrap your head around the fact that we don't really need meat or dairy, because ever since we were kids, we were taught that we needed our quote-unquote protein, right? And when you hear the word protein, in our minds, meat and dairy, but not so much dairy, mostly meat, equates to protein. I mean, when you go out to eat at a restaurant and you order a salad, they'll always say to me, well, do you want any protein on that? And I look at them, and I'm kind of a smart aleck, and I'll say, I'm sorry, I already have this salad is filled with protein. I don't need any animal products, thank you. But the thing is, see, that we don't really get is that there's protein in all foods, in fruits and in veggies, and in particular whole grains, beans, legumes, peas, lentils, nuts, seeds, seed butters. We get all the protein that we need and more so from plant-based sources, but we're eliminating the saturated fats and the cholesterol that come with the animal protein. So, and it is true that there are certain populations that have higher protein needs, like if I'm working with pregnant women or children or older folks or young people that are really into, you know, weightlifting and athletes, people recovering from surgery or accidents where you really have a higher protein need. There are times when you do need to ramp up your plant-based proteins, but there's ways to do that without ever touching meat or dairy. So that's what I work with people on, their individual customized needs for protein. Protein I'm speaking about because it's most often the first thing out of people's mouth when they're questioning a vegan diet or a plant-based diet. They say, well, where do you get your protein? Very, very commonly asked question. And so I just wanted to touch on that right away, that no matter what your age or whatever your stage in life is, you're going to be getting enough protein, not only the protein, but the nutrients, the vitamins, the minerals, the fiber, the phytonutrients, and more so than you would be if you're bringing animals into your diet.
Interesting. And we need to take a real short break, but I want to continue that conversation when we come back, because I think there's a great opportunity to really do a little bit of education and get people to think differently. And then I want to talk about what you call the whole earth diet, because I think that's a really interesting conversation too. This is Janelle McCauley, and you're listening to Eat Great, Live Well Radio.
Do you struggle with your weight or your health? Do you wish you had more energy to do the things you really want to do? Are you tired of counting calories and fad dieting? Do you want to eat your favorite foods and not feel guilty? If you answered yes to any of these questions, then the Eat Great, Live Well personalized wellness program is the answer for you. Being healthy isn't about fad dieting, feeling guilty, or eating nothing but tofu and wheatgrass. It's about making small, healthy choices that add up over time to create life-changing transformation for you and your family. The Eat Great, Live Well personalized wellness program will show you how easy it is to be healthy, happy, and well-fed all at the same time. Visit eatgreatlivewell.com for more information or to enroll in this life-changing program. You deserve to both eat great and live well. Check it out today at eatgreatlivewell.com.
You're listening to Janelle McCauley on the EWN Radio Network.
Welcome back to Eat Great, Live Well Radio. I'm your host, Janelle McCauley, and today we're talking with Laura Robinson Oatman. And before the break, we were talking about protein and a vegan diet. And I love all the information you were sharing, Laura, about the way people think about protein, because I think we do traditionally think about it as meat. And I love some of the examples you were giving, because I think people don't understand that there's protein in so many of the foods that we have available to us. We just don't think of it that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's very true. And I think, you know, we all were taught to look at that USDA food pyramid as kind of the Bible of nutrition. And really, it's interesting because that USDA food pyramid lately has been changing and shifting every other year. They've been modifying it and reducing it. And now I think they've eliminated the word meat altogether. They just have the word protein. It used to say meat and dairy, and now it just says protein. And it's slowly but surely the world is shifting to recognize that maybe we really don't need meat and dairy for health. And in fact, we thrive without it. But all of our plant-based foods, and in particular, I want to highlight the humble bean, the legume group, is packed with protein. I love beans because they're very high protein, they're very high fiber, and they're very low fat. So those three, that is a winning combination. If you can check those three boxes when it comes to eating, you're going to be on the perfect path towards health, because high fiber has been proven time and time again. The more fiber you eat, the better your health is going to be. Low fat, you know, there's been a lot of controversy back and forth about low fat, high fat diets. I always follow the money train. Whenever you see diets being advertised on one side or the other, completely contradictory stories, pro or against a particular food group, whether it's soy or meat or dairy or butter or whatever, follow the trail of money and find out who is funding those studies, because oftentimes it will lead right back to somebody who's making a profit off of that study. So that is why nutrition is so darn confusing, because every single thing that you can talk about, somebody has a study that says it's awesome, and somebody else has a study that says it's the worst thing on the face of the earth. So you really have to do your own thinking here and your own education around food. You're not going to get it out in the mainstream, and you're not going to get it any other way, but you do have to kind of follow back to the source of where these studies are coming from, and that will really inform you.
Absolutely, and I really, again, like the way you explained that in very simple terms, because one of the things that constantly comes up is somebody saying this is absolutely perfect for you, and then someone else is saying it's not, and then mm-hmm. it just flip-flops back and forth, and people ask, how do I know what to do? How do mm-hmm. I know who's really telling me the right thing? Because mm-hmm. they very often do totally contradict each other. So what do you believe? And that's a great, at least, starting point, because most people can figure that out. You can do a little bit of research and quickly figure out who funded that study, who's mm-hmm. going to be benefiting from the information that's being shared.
Exactly.
You know, one of the things I love to ask my guests is, what motivates you to live healthy and share your message with others? And I know you talked a little bit about the transition you went through. We call it your big why. So what is your big why, and how has it motivated you to live healthier and to share your message with others?
Oh, my gosh. Wow. Okay. My big why is absolutely enormous. It barely fits in this room that I'm sitting in. The word big doesn't even begin to explain it. It's really my gigantor. Can I call it my gigantor why? Or my enormous, mega ginormous why. It's huge. And I don't know where to begin because it's coming from so many places. I was trying to think about this. I've always loved animals, and I've always been also empathetic to the extreme, to the point where, you know, some people can be extremely empathetic to other people's pain, but then there's this next level that some people actually experience where you actually feel physically other people's pain. And I am an empath in the extreme, so I feel pain physically in my body when I see others suffering. I can't stand to see others suffering. So when I started out on this journey originally, I was just looking to find the best diet to allow me to lose some weight. I was 30 pounds overweight, and I just wanted to lose some weight. That was where it all began. But then as I started taking steps down this path, and I realized, holy Toledo, you know, if I take meat and dairy out of my diet, not only do I get to lose that weight, but I also get to avoid all of these crazy, unnecessary physical diseases that are just plaguing our, not just our nation, but our planet right now, diabetes, heart disease, cancer, osteoporosis. And not just for me personally, but at my age now, I'm 55, and I'm starting to see others, my old classmates, my classmates' spouses and husbands and friends, dying far too young in their 50s mm-hmm. and 60s of these chronic diseases that could be completely avoided if we changed our diets. And not only that, if we stop eating meat, we end the enormous amount of pain and suffering that we're inflicting on our animal brethren, too. And not only that, if we stop eating meat, we end this strain on our planet, on our natural resources, on wasted water, power, grain to feed cattle, the rainforest, animal species being decimated. If we stop eating meat, we stop eating violence and death. There's an energy to food, to everything that we put in our mouths, and that food actually turns into who we are, that the food energy transforms into all of ourselves. We are what we eat. And when we eat meat, we eat pain and suffering and violence, and we become a more violent society. When we stop eating meat, we start eating peace. So if everyone stopped eating meat and dairy tomorrow, not only would we be healthier and happier, but we would be safer, less violent. That's my huge, ginormous, incredibly huge why I'm doing what I'm doing now.
You've got
a
lot of different pieces there, and
yeah.
I'm amazed at 55, because your picture on your website looks wonderful. Do you think you changed a lot, and did it take you a while to lose that 30 pounds?
Well, it did change me a lot. It took me, all of a couple of 3 months to lose about 15 pounds, and then I felt lighter. I felt much better. That's when I went back and started to, quote-unquote, play in my gym again, you know. And then when I started playing at 24-hour fitness, then I lost the next 15 pounds, and then all sorts of changes started happening for me. But definitely, and I hate to sound like I'm bragging because it's the last thing I want to do, but people see me now and they say that I look younger and much better than I did 10 years ago. And I really attribute it to what I'm eating now and how I'm living and how it all has kind of fed into itself.
Well, that's certainly a great story. So can you share a little bit more about what whole earth diet really means?
Sure, yeah, I thought it was a great name. I was surprised it wasn't taken, actually. Whole Earth Diet. It sounded familiar to me when it came to me, but somehow no one had taken it yet. Whole Earth, it's a play on words, and it really has a couple of different meanings to me. It refers, first of all, to a whole foods diet, which is really the foundation of everything that we're eating. We're eating as close as nature to as possible. So the food that we're eating should look like it sort of like it grew out of the ground, like a product of nature. That is a whole foods diet. It's also referring to a whole earth diet, meaning that it's not location specific. Like a lot of diets are called like the South Beach diet or whatever, and that might work well if you live in South Beach or someplace like it and you have access to a lot of fresh fruits and veggies and fish, but not if you live in Egypt or Argentina and that diet is very foreign to you as well. So every part of the world has a very distinctive cuisine. So what we do at Whole Earth Wellness is we take comfort food recipes from all around the world and we tweak those recipes to eliminate the meat and the dairy and just make them more healthy, but also familiar to people, whether they live in Southern California here or Japan or South America or Africa or wherever. So a lot of our recipes are from really all over the world. And people will stick to a new diet if it's more familiar. But then also, I think if they're like me, you like to try recipes from all over the world as well. It sort of, in a way, brings us together by eating recipes from other parts of the world. We start to understand those other cultures a little better by eating their food. It becomes a part of us. And finally, last point, this diet is not just for individual people, not just for the person who's reading it, but it's a diet that's literally going to save the world, save the earth, and make the earth whole again, because right now our earth is not well because of what we're doing to it environmentally. So we need to shift the course of what we are eating as individuals in order to make the whole earth well again.
That's
in a nutshell.
The way you put all the words together, and the different combinations have really interesting meanings, and yet it all comes together. Mm-hmm. It comes together beautifully.
Yeah.
So when you made this way of shifting how you're eating, how did your family react? Were they already eating this way, or what kind of challenges did you have there?
Well, that's interesting because, you know, I've got 5 kids. My mom and dad are still around, and they live very close by. And, of course, they love their meat and potatoes. And of my 5 kids, I've got 4 boys. 2 of them are complete meat and potato kids. My daughter is a vegan like myself most of the time, though she has a weakness for cheese, so sometimes she will indulge in that. And then 2 of my boys are vegetarians. They do eat some eggs and some cheese. And my husband is... I would say he's mostly vegan just because he eats what I buy and what I cook, and which is what I buy and what I cook is 100% vegan. But then when we go out to dinner, he will occasionally, you know, order a piece of fish and kind of look at me a little guilty, and I'll just look at him and say, I don't care what you're, just be, you know. Mm-hmm. What I try and impress on people is that I am not a judgmental vegan. I'm not like a lot of others. I'm not going to impose my quote-unquote religion on anybody. But when you come to my house, you are going to get a really healthy, amazing vegan meal. And no matter what the holiday, I'm actually very much a traditionalist when it comes to a lot of things, to family, to faith, to longstanding traditions, holidays. I live for them. I love holidays. I love family tradition. And I'm telling you, I don't think I've met a holiday that I haven't been able to totally veganize and make it perfect. I think the hardest one, of course, is that Thanksgiving turkey. It's really hard to fake that guy. But everything else I can make perfectly vegan. And, in fact, if you think about a Thanksgiving feast, everything on that table except from the turkey is fruits and veggies and beans and legumes. It's all really vegan, and all you got to do is eliminate the massive quantities of butter that we typically used to soak everything in and substitute with a little olive oil or something a little healthier and lighter. So, you know, I think that's the scariest thing for most people is, oh, I don't want to be a vegan because things are going to change so dramatically for me, but really, they change very little. It's really about substituting this for that. And anything you can make, I can make better. That sounds really rude, actually. But what I'm trying to say is any like family casserole that you have or any family traditional recipe that you have, you can pass to me. I will tweak it for you, make it, you know, just swap this for that, that for this. And you can still eat the exact same way. It's just a little different. So all those family recipes don't, you know, thrown into the trash. You just tweak them a little.
Interesting. Well, we need to take another short break, but we come back. I want to ask you to maybe share just a couple of the simple substitutions, because I think that might get people to think very differently about what they're doing. Because I know for me, I often think, well, but what do I do? What do I substitute for this? And that's kind of my stopping point because I don't know what some of those are. So maybe you can share some of those.
Okay.
Stay tuned. This is Janelle McCauley, and you're listening to Eat Great, Live Well Radio.
I'm looking for a certain kind of woman, and I think you know her. She She's an entrepreneur that is highly connected, successful, significant in her own industry, and considered the go-to woman in her community. She's received so much from so many women in business, she's ready to give back to others on their journey, lifting as she climbs. Hi, this is Sandra Yancey, and I'm the founder and CEO of eWomen Network. I'm looking to connect with the woman I've just described who lives in your community so that we might have a conversation about how eWomen Network's proven success system can provide her a platform to elevate her success and ability to support women in business. Our international community of managing directors are influencing the speed of success for women in business around the world. If that sounds like something that you want to be part of or know someone we should talk with, send an email to managingdirector@ewomennetwork.com. That's managingdirector@ewomennetwork.com, and let's start the conversation.
Do you struggle with your weight or your health? Do you wish you had more energy to do the things you really want to do? Are you tired of counting calories and fad dieting? Do you want to eat your favorite foods and not feel guilty? If you answered yes to any of these questions, then the Eat Great, Live Well personalized wellness program is the answer for you. Being healthy isn't about fad dieting, feeling guilty, or eating nothing but tofu and wheatgrass. It's about making small, healthy choices that add up over time to create life-changing transformation for you and your family. The Eat Great, Live Well personalized wellness program will show you how easy it is to be healthy, happy, and well-fed all at the same time. Visit eatgreatlivewell.com for more information or to enroll in this life-changing program. You deserve to both eat great and live well. Check it out today at eatgreatlivewell.com.
This is the EWN Radio Network.
Welcome back to Eat Great, Live Well Radio. I'm your host, Janelle McCauley, and today we're talking with Laura Robinson Oatman. And before the break, we were talking about substitutions and how to eat a vegan diet and a vegan meal. We're talking about how you get your family to try some of these things and what kind of challenges you might have. And I think part of it is just exposing your family to the different foods. And over the break, Laura and I were talking about holiday, and she was talking about her turkey substitution. So I'd love to have you share that with everyone, Laura.
Sure. Yeah, we were just talking about Thanksgiving, and what, you know, that's probably the big holiday that comes to mind when you're thinking about family tradition and all of those, you know, recipes that go along with Thanksgiving. And really, the only piece of all of those recipes is that giant Thanksgiving turkey that's usually the center of the table. So what do you do with that? How do you, you know, swap that out? So what I had done last year to take care of that is I had made a lentil nut loaf, which was awesome. It looked just like a giant sort of a beautiful meatloaf with a mushroom gravy over the top, and that was my centerpiece of the table. And then I'd also found this plant-based turkey, if you can believe it, and the company is called Vegetarian Plus, I think. I might be saying it wrong, but I think it's Vegetarian Plus, and they make a pretend turkey. It's actually made out of soy and peas and some other plant-based materials, and it's shaped exactly like a little turkey, and it even has a hole to put the stuffing in, so you can stuff it up and make it, so if you're really missing the shape of a turkey on your Thanksgiving table, there it is. And then I was also talking to Janelle over the break about the fact that you know, there was one family member that said, well, it's really not Thanksgiving without turkey. Is it okay if I bring in some real turkey as well? And I said, sure, go ahead and bring in a platter of your turkey slices if you'd like to contribute that to the buffet spread. And then anybody that cares to have real turkey, it's there. But everything else on that spread, the other 99 dishes that I created, were all vegan, 100% vegan. And really, that little side dish of turkey slices on the end got very little notice or attention because everybody was so overwhelmed with the beauty and the flavors of all of those amazing, you know, side dishes, the green bean casserole, the stuffing, the cranberry sauce, all the usual stuff, you know, the Brussels sprouts, everything else, the sweet potatoes, It's all vegan, really. The only difference is instead of buying 15 pounds of butter to soak over everything, you just drizzle a little olive oil on there and get more creative with your spices, your herbs, and your seasonings, and then everything tastes delicious. And the great thing is you can stuff yourself with all of this plant-based food, and at the end of the feast, you don't feel like you're going to keel over and die. I mean, you know, just a lot of those animal-based proteins have a, now I'm going to mess this up. There is an amino acid in the plant-based proteins that makes you very sleepy. So you'll notice if you eat a large animal-based meal, you feel very sleepy afterwards. You eat a huge vegan meal, you feel good. I mean, your stomach might feel a little stretched out, but you feel energized and you feel really full of life and energy. It's a huge difference.
Well, I know when I eat a lot more vegetables and eat a lot more of the healthier foods, which I've really been focusing on, I just have my brain is so much more alert. I don't have those extreme highs and lows that you tend to have when you eat a lot more sugar and a lot more mm-hmm. of the fat, where you kind of you get full and you have a lot of energy and then you kind of go down. I find I'm much more even throughout the day, and it really mm-hmm. actually feels good. I think one of the challenges is people don't know how good they can feel by eating healthy, so they don't realize what's possible, which is sad.
Yeah, it is sad. And it's those complex carbs. What you're hitting on is the fact that when you eat a lot of complex carbohydrates, which are what you're finding in beans and whole grains and vegetables, it maintains that your blood sugar level is maintained at a very steady high rate all the way along. It's not, you don't have those spikes of highs and lows like you do when you're eating simple sugars or simple carbs, you know, like sodas and cookies and sort of the unhealthy sugary carbs. That's why carbs have gotten such a bad rap lately. Most people, when you think carbs, you're thinking, you know, sodas and cookies and crackers mm-hmm. and bread and pasta and processed simple carbs. But what we advocate eating a lot of, as much as you want of, are complex whole grain carbs. So whole grains, beans, legumes, nuts and seeds in moderation. You don't want to eat a whole bag of nuts every single day because that's too much, a little too much of the good thing. But so there are certain things that you have to eat in moderation, but a lot of the whole grains, the beans, the fruits and veggies, you can eat all day. There's no limit.
So what do you suggest to people about the best way to adopt, whether it's going from where they are to vegan or to vegetarian or just really starting to eat healthier? Is it better that they go just cold turkey in your perspective, or is there a way they can do it gradually and really kind of make that transition so it's not so hard to do?
Yeah. This is a tricky one. I know there's a lot of vegans who will disagree with me on this. There's a lot of vegans with a capital V who think that once you find out the truth behind meat and dairy, that you need to go cold turkey or else, you know, you just have mm-hmm. to. And I really don't think that's the best way to transition. I think the best way to transition is to do so very gradually. Cold turkey rarely works. And, you know, for myself, it was really a three-step process. I think the first step I took was about, well, the very, very first one, when I was 17, I was a vegetarian for a couple of years, but I think that was mostly just because my surfer boyfriend was a vegetarian, and, you know, we would eat avocado sandwiches and sit on the beach and, you know, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But then I went away from that in the 80s, and when I was a corporate executive and I had 5 kids and I was feeding them fast food and, you know, just eating the standard American diet for a long time throughout my life until... It was actually, I was thinking about this about 14 years ago now, when I took the 5 kids to the county fair like I did every year without thinking about those adorable, cute little baby farm animals. But that was always the first area we would head to, is to see those cute little baby cows and pigs and mm-hmm. Sheep and all the little adorable things. My 13-year-old daughter at the time, after we came home, in the car as we're driving home, she goes, "Mom, I want to be a vegetarian. I don't want to eat those animals anymore." And I said, okay. And that sort of triggered a little light bulb way in the back of my memory about when I used to be a vegetarian when I was 17. And I thought, okay, well, if you're going to be a vegetarian, then I'll do it with you all in solidarity. And if I'm going to make vegetarian dishes for you, I'll do it with you. So I stopped eating, you know, and I call myself a vegetarian, but really I was a very lazy vegetarian. I stopped eating mammals at that point. So I stopped eating all those cute animals that we saw at the fair that day, the cows, the pigs, the lambs, the adorable things with the big eyes, the warm-blooded, nursed their babies. Obviously, very much like our own domestic dogs and cats, they're able to feel love and pain and all those same emotions that we do.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt like that was my first step. If I couldn't look them in the eye and take their life with my own hand, then I had no business allowing someone else to do that for me. It was more of starting to live in authenticity, of really recognizing that the food I was putting into my body, I needed to be mindful of. And so if I couldn't take it all the way, like I can easily go in my backyard and pick an apple and eat mm-hmm. it without any guilt. But if I'm letting someone else do my dirty work to get some pretty piece of meat on my plate, then was I really living with authenticity? So I first stopped eating mammals. And if anyone out there listening to this takes that very first step, even if it's not every day of the week, even if it's maybe a 3 or 4 day a week commitment to stop eating mammals only, then I would be absolutely thrilled. I think that would be the first step in a multi-step process. The next step for me personally in my journey was giving up eating chickens, because see, we were vegetarians, or several of us were, so we had some backyard hens. Don't tell our neighbors, because we live in suburban Newport Beach, California here, and hens are completely illegal, but we're kind of scofflaws. So we had our backyard hens, and that was for our fresh eggs for my vegetarian boys. And then what happened? Of course, I fell in love with my hens, you know, Flora and Henrietta, of course. I fell in love with my hens. They would come and sit in my lap, and I would feed them blueberries, and they would coo and make these lovely noises. And then I realized, darn it, now I can't eat chicken. Okay, that's it. I can't eat chicken. Can't kill any one of these if I had to, so I stopped mm-hmm. eating chickens. And then the next step was finally in that big crash in 2008 when I was laid off from work and I needed to turn my life around and I needed to lose 30 pounds. Because even though I wasn't eating any red meat at that time, I was still making up for it with tons of cheese, you know, cheese pizza and macaroni and cheese and butter and eggs. I read the book called Skinny Bitch, and from there I became a full-blown five-alarm fire vegan, because it was the information that was contained in that book that just, it was like a bucket of cold water just being poured over my head. I realized at that point I needed to give up all of it, the fish, the dairy, the eggs, everything. So that was my process, slow but steady, slow but sure. And now I would never go back, never.
Interesting. I love the way you explain it, because it gives a real visual. And everyone goes through a different process when they're deciding what they want to eat or how they want to do it. And the thing that I love is everyone can make a choice about what part of it they want to give up or they want to mm-hmm. eat. But I think the important part is understanding what it means. And I also encourage people, after they're eating certain foods, to really pay attention to how their body feels.
Yes.
Because that will tell you, is the food you're eating really feeding your body and giving you more energy and giving you more focus and clarity, and or is it making you want to go take a nap and, you know, mm-hmm. go do nothing and just go sit down? And that in itself, when you make those choices, will really transform the way people make choices about the foods that they eat.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Mindful eating, not only knowing the source of where your food is coming from, but also recognizing and being mindful and aware of your own body and how your body is reacting to different foods and different changes that are happening. Maybe not just physically, you know, to really be aware of what's going on mentally, emotionally, spiritually as you eat as well. So it's all about getting in touch with yourself and your food.
Absolutely, which is, I think, something that a lot of people don't do. We're going to go ahead and take our final break. And when we come back, I'd love to have you share a little bit about your book, The Whole Earth Diet, Healthy Body, Happy Life, Peaceful World.
Sure.
This is Janelle McCauley, and you're listening to Eat Great, Live Well Radio.
you struggle with your weight or your health? Do you wish you had more energy to do the things you really want to do? Are you tired of counting calories and fad dieting? Do you want to eat your favorite foods and not feel guilty? If you answered yes to any of these questions, then the Eat Great, Live Well personalized wellness program is the answer for you. Being healthy isn't about fad dieting, feeling guilty, or eating nothing but tofu and wheatgrass. It's about making small, healthy choices that add up over time to create life-changing transformation for you and your family. The Eat Great, Live Well personalized wellness program will show you how easy it is to be healthy, happy, and well-fed all at the same time. Visit eatgreatlivewell.com for more information or to enroll in this life-changing program. You deserve to both eat great and live well. Check it out today at eatgreatlivewell.com.
You're listening to Janelle McCauley on the EWN Radio Network.
Welcome back to Eat Great, Live Well Radio. I'm your host, Janelle McCauley, and today we're talking with Laura Robinson Oatman. And before the break, we were talking about a vegan diet. And again, over the break, we're having some great conversations. Laura was talking about labels. So I'd love to have you share your thought on labeling yourself a particular type of like vegan or vegetarian.
Yeah, because we had talked just before the break about, you know, transitioning and, you know, is it all or nothing when it comes to a vegan diet? And I don't believe in anything in life needs to be all or nothing. Maybe that's just me, but I think there's so many good things that people can participate in that are a part of a vegan diet, like eating more fruits, more vegetables, more whole grains, more beans, trying out new vegan recipes. But the best advice I can give is really to just sort of lose the idea of a label of vegan or even vegetarian. I really hate labels of any kind, whether it's religion, politics, but especially in diet, which for a lot of people it's become as divisive as religion or politics. But not worrying about whether or not you fit into that vegan box or not, just try eating a lot more 100% plant-based meals. Eat more fruits and veggies and see how you feel. Maybe start off with being 100% plant-based Sunday through Monday, or Sunday through Monday, maybe Sunday through Thursday might be better. Give yourself Friday and Saturday night to eat out and order what you think you might be craving, but just be aware just because you're craving something doesn't necessarily mean your body's missing nutrients. Most cravings are emotional or mental.
Absolutely. And, you know, I think even if people were to take one day a week and eat 100%
yes.
plant-based,
mm-hmm.
that would be a huge start because,
yes.
I mean, I believe that once they start to eat healthier and make healthier choices, they're going to start feeling so much better and want more of it. And once they start that, it's going to take them down an amazing path. So, but I love the fact that you don't like labels because I think it really is about just making healthier choices.
Exactly.
So
yep.
I'd love to have you share a little bit about your book, Whole Earth Diet, Healthy Body, Happy Life, Peaceful World. And it's already a bestseller on Amazon, so congratulations on that. Just a little bit about that you'd like to share about the book and that you'd like us to know.
Well, the book is really about everything that we've been talking about here today. It's broken into three parts, the Healthy Body, Happy Life, Peaceful World. And the first part, Healthy Body, really, it does a deep dive into plant-based nutrition, the why behind giving up meat and dairy, some facts and figures and information around plant-based nutrition, and some nuts and bolts practical things that you need to know that you need to do to incorporate more plant-based eating into your life. So, and I think, at least I hope it's written in a very easy-to-read conversational style. I've had a lot of good feedback on the way that it's written. It's hard to write a book about nutrition that's fun to read, but I did try and make it very loose and free-flowing and easy and fun to read. And the second part of the book, Happy Life, goes more into those holistic lifestyle changes that we were talking about earlier to create a life that's not just physically healthy but emotionally passionate, mentally purposeful, spiritually prayerful. All of that, of course, leads towards a happy life. And then the last part of the book, Peaceful World, expands on the notion of how does this how does this change the world, really, to embrace health and wellness for the whole earth, and how you as an individual can play your part. Believe it or not, everybody can play a part in creating a more peaceful world for our future generations, really, because that's what it's all about.
It sounds like I haven't had a chance to read it, but I definitely plan to read it, because you've really made the whole conversation today about plant-based eating much more interesting and more fun than I thought it could possibly be, to be perfectly honest. And I love your philosophy on start making a change and start, you know, exploring some of these options, because so many people are so extreme about it. And I think when you go from eating the way most people eat to trying to eat 100% plant-based, it's difficult to make that transition. But again, I believe if people start doing it, it will make a huge difference on their health and change the world too.
Yeah, absolutely.
So what are a couple of the biggest benefits to a vegan diet, and some of the benefits that go beyond even health?
Yeah, well, physically, I could just go on and on. I don't want to take up the whole call with about the health benefits for it. But beyond that, the holistic wellness benefits. You know, as a holistic health coach, I couldn't advocate eating any other way. I couldn't coach a paleo diet and then also be a spiritual advisor as well. It's all too interconnected. So when you eat 100% plant-based, emotionally, you lose any feelings of guilt that you may or may not even know you harbor around looking the other way when animals are killed for you. You become 100% guilt-free when you look at any animal in the eye, and you feel at peace with your conscience. And spiritually, I guess using a Sanskrit term again, you have that clean karma feeling, and you're more in tune with really God or the universe, spirit, divine, whatever your word is for that. You become more soul-centered, more heart-centered, and especially if you are working in some sort of a soul-centered or a heart-centered profession, this diet will clear all of your energy channels to the divine, make you more creative, more passionate, more in tune. It opens you up in so many surprising ways, in addition to the fact that your health and your wellness is going to be better than it's ever been before.
Well, I think that a lot of people that are listening, I know, hopefully caught on just like I did when we were talking about being more creative, more passionate, because most of the women that I know, and our audience is primarily women, are really, they want to do something. They want to change the world. They want to have a bigger impact. And I think being more creative, having more energy, being able to do more of those things and really be authentic and in alignment with what you say you want to do and what you're doing, I think are so important.
Yes, I do believe that creativity is when you are able to channel the divine through you, you become more creative. And when you open up all of those channels, then whatever you're doing in life, it's a sign that there really is a God when you're able to create and let this flow out of you. The other sign, I think, is goosebumps. I think once you start eating plant-based, a very strange and funny side effect is you're going to get goosebumps several times a day.
Interesting. I haven't heard that one. Why do you think that? Do you have any idea why that happens?
I think goosebumps are messages. When you've just hit on something, something from the divine, you will get goosebumps. It's if you notice when that happens, and it will happen more and more to you. These strange synchronicities, these coincidences, these messages start to come more clearly to you when your channels are more opened, when you're eating a pure and authentic, peaceful, plant-based diet. It sounds like I'm crazy, and I have to tell you, it does sound like I'm a crazy person. but this, I cannot. You just have to experience it for yourself.
No, and I know when I'm eating healthier and really taking care of my body and doing the things that I know I'm supposed to do, it just I'm more receptive to kind of. I'm more aware, I'm more conscious, so I think that's when I'm able to pick up on things. So I absolutely understand what you're saying. And, you know, we've had an amazing conversation today, and I know we could go on for at least another hour with all the things we've been talking about. But can you share how our listeners can learn more about Whole Earth Wellness, about a vegan diet, about you and all the things you've talked about today?
Sure. Well, of course, you can all buy my book, Whole Earth Diet. It's available on Amazon.com. It's really an encyclopedia of everything that we've been talking about today, my best health tips and secrets. You can go to my website, WholeEarthDiet.com, and you can download the first chapter of my book for free. So you can look at that and see if you're intrigued or interested first before you commit to buying the book. I have also got a great green smoothie book on there, recipes for 7 green smoothies for each day of the week. I've got my just started one of my 30-day vegan jumpstart group programs this week, but I have another one starting up in October where I make vegan food very easy for you. For 30 days, I give you recipes, meal plans, shopping lists. We have group weekly teleconferences where we talk about the physical benefits, the emotional benefits, the spiritual, the mental. Each week we talk about a different focus on the benefits of a plant-based diet. And you actually get to immerse yourself in it for a while to give it a go, to see if it works for you. And then I also have an Advent program coming up in December, a Lenten fasting group program that starts next year, Ash Wednesday through Easter, for Christians in particular that are interested in finding out more. I'm hosting a Spring Wellness Warriors Weekend retreat here in Newport Beach, California, next April. So if you want to spend a weekend with me and others immersing ourselves in holistic health and wellness, that's happening next spring. Just contact me, reach out to me on my website. There is a contact form there, and just reach out to me and I'll let you know all you need to know.
Perfect. Sounds like you've got a lot of things going on. And we will have a link to your website and for people to connect with you at our eatgreatlivewellradio.com website with the today's interview, so they'll be able to absolutely get you from there too. So sounds like you've got a lot of really exciting and fun things going on.
Yes, I do.
As we wrap up our time, I love to ask my guests to give our listeners just one action item that they can implement in the next week to start creating a healthy future for themselves and the ones they love.
Okay. Gosh, you mentioned eating meat-free one day a week. I have a blog that is every Monday. It's Meat-Free Monday, and it gives you a delicious, great recipe for eating a plant-based meal that night for dinner or any night that week. You might want to try that. But I do want to just give one more hint. I think that everybody needs to make this choice for themselves, and the best thing that we can do is educate ourselves. We need to educate ourselves and then make your own decision. So I would ask that everybody listening to this watch 3 movies, Forks Over Knives, Earthlings, and Cowspiracy. Those 3 movies, you can download them off of Netflix or Amazon.com. Those 3 movies are going to give you the big 3 reasons for your health, for the animals, and for the environment that will set you down this path. Watch those movies and then contact me through my website when you're ready to start the journey.
Well, thank you very much for sharing that, and thank you so much for your time today. It's been a wonderful conversation.
Yes, thank you so much, Janelle. It was a pleasure.
So until next week, remember that even small changes can make a positive difference in your health and your life. Healthy choices you make every day add up over time to create a healthy future for yourself and your family. Be sure to join me each week as we continue the conversation on how to build a healthier relationship with food and with yourself. And again, I invite you to go to eatgreatlivewellradio.com and be part of the conversation. Click on Facebook and share your thoughts. Let us know your questions about how to eat healthier, about anything that we talked about today, and we'll be happy to get them answered. Take care and have a healthy and great week. Bye-bye for now.
Thank you for tuning in to Eat Great, Live Well Radio, your trusted source for the information you need to take control of your health and your life. Each week at this time, we bring you straight talk about eating healthier without giving up the foods you love. Join us next Thursday and every Thursday at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on the EWN Radio Network. To get a replay of this week's show, listen to past shows, or contact Janelle, go to eatgreatlivewellradio.com. Have a great week, and remember, you can choose to eat great and live well.